Thank you and welcome to Scripture on Creation. I'm Scott Kump.
And I'm Dr. Ben Scripture.
Dr. Scripture, in last week's program, you were speaking with Dr. Dave Metten from the Answers in Genesis Creation Museum, and he had so many interesting things to talk about, you wanted to air more of that interview.
Yeah, Scott. Now, as part of that interview, he gave us some brief descriptions of a few of his presentations at the Creation Museum.
I was especially fascinated by what he told us about the anatomy of birds, their respiratory system in particular, that in birds' lungs, the air only flows in one direction, in contrast to the way air flows in and out of the lungs of every other kind of animal.
And that includes dinosaurs, which, according to evolution, are the ancestors to all birds, which then begs the question, how could a dinosaur's respiratory system evolve from what is called tidal breathing to a flow-through design? Please explain how that process could work incrementally. So anyway, in our last program, Dave described several of his presentations, but as you pointed out, Scott, we didn't have time for the entire interview. And in particular, one of his lectures I wanted everyone to hear about was the one he does on the eye and the ear. Given Dr. Metten's expertise in anatomy, he has a unique perspective on those amazing organs.
Well, I'll say he taught cellular anatomy for 34 years in Washington University School of Medicine.
And that was before he joined Answers in Genesis.
Yeah.
So in this second half of my interview with Dr. Dave Metten, I ask him to tell us about his eye and ear lecture, and in particular, what it meant when the Bible refers to the apple of the eye.
So many of our expressions that we use come right out of the Bible, like the handwriting is on the wall.
Right, that's a good one.
I kind of wonder nowadays whether a lot of people realize that expressions they use, Judas kiss, what have you, that it comes from Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the more interesting ones to me that I discovered in doing my lecture on the human eye and the ear is this expression, you are the apple of my eye.
Mm.
I apply that towards, you know, folks like my grandkids and what have you, apple of my eye.
Yeah.
And when you think about it, what does it mean? Does it mean we love our grandkids or our son or daughter or whatever as much as we love a Jonathan apple?
Mm.
I hope it means, you know, a little more than that. And yet when we know when we use that expression, it means something very special, very,
right,
very dear. And it comes from the Bible. God first used it towards the children of Israel and ultimately towards all those who are sons of Abraham, according to faith, those of us today too. And we encounter it first in the Bible in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 12. And there we read, "The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them." So just for starters, God sets down straight away that he made the eye and the ear. And I worked with so many people over the years, and intelligent men and women of science, who would have denied that the ear and the eye could
right,
come into being by itself. In fact, many would argue there's no evidence of intelligent design there in the eye and the ear, which is, of course, just outrageous. The reason I think people shy away from believing that God made the ear and the eye can be found in Psalms. If we go on to look at Psalm 94, verse 9, there we read, "He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? And he that formed the eye, shall he not see?" That's pretty scary when you think about it, isn't it?
Yeah, you're accountable, aren't you?
Yeah. You know, I've often wondered, how well would the creator of the ear hear? And how well would the creator of the eye see? And I think I conclude from Scripture that he hears well enough to hear our thoughts, and he sees well enough to look into our hearts.
Mm.
And what does he hear and see there, particularly given the fact that in both the Old and New Testament we read that God says to us, "You shall be perfect," or "You shall be holy, as I, the Lord thy God, am perfect," or holy.
That's quite a standard.
Yes, that would scare anybody. No wonder people run away. I mean, how can we stand before a God that demands protection and we can't hide from him because he's the creator of the ear and the creator of the eye, hearing our thoughts and seeing into our hearts? And it would be terrible if that was the end of the story, but it isn't, because he's not just our creator, he's our savior, and
Amen.
That changes everything.
Amen.
Send his son into the world to take the hit that we should have taken, suffer the guilt for our sins, to literally become sin for us, to die and raise victorious over sin, death, and the power of Satan. Once you know that, then it's great to have a God that can hear and see. And then we run into the psalmist, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Now, getting back to our...
apple of the eye?
The apple of the eye, yeah. That's an interesting series of verses that touch on that.
What is the apple of the eye?
Well, the apple of the eye is really the pupil.
You know, sometimes it can be confusing. Is the pupil the colored part or the actual hole that the light passes through?
Well, the pupil is the hole that the light passes through.
Right.
It looks black because the interior of the eye is black, as any good camera is black on the inside to
How
keep light
that?
From reflecting around.
Okay.
And then around the pupil, we have the iris, which is just like the iris in a camera. It can open and close to adjust for light all automatically. Of course, we can see that through a clear window, which we call the cornea. And the cornea and the lens actually develop from our skin, embryonic skin, whereas all of the rest of the eye, besides the lens and cornea, is really part of our brain. So when we look in somebody's eyes, we're looking at part of their brain.
Wow.
That's how close the brain is to the surface. It comes right out, and it looks through that little lens that's just in the right position. I'm just so grateful that that little window in our skin wasn't in our abdomen or our back. We wouldn't be able to look through it. It's right there where the bud comes off the brain. And when the children of Israel looked at that pupil, apparently they thought it looked like an apple.
Huh.
And so they referred to it as the apple of the eye. If we look in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 10, we see that use of the apple of the eye first there. There it reads that he, that is God, encircled him, that is Israel, as they were wandering all those years in the desert. God encircled Israel. He instructed him, and here it comes. He kept him as the apple of his eye. The expression is not, you are the apple of my eye, but as it's translated in the King James, he kept him as the apple of his eye. Now, here, the word keep, I think, would be better translated protect.
Or guard, sure. I think so.
Yeah, we use it in that way, don't we, when we say, may the good Lord guard and keep you.
Exactly.
We're not saying guard you and put you in his pocket. We mean guard you and protect you. So if we translate keep, protect, then it really begins to make a more clear understanding. He protected Israel, or protected him, as the apple of his eye. Now, the children of Israel were well aware that anything that got close to the eye could injure it, and that we had a blink reflex. I don't know if they called it a blink reflex, but they knew they blinked.
Absolutely.
And you don't have to think about that, do you?
You can't not blink, I think, if somebody's poking you in the eye.
That's right. And that blink reflex protects the eye, protects that area of the cornea that we're looking through, right? The apple right over the pupil. And so God wants us to understand that his protection for us is like how we protect our eye. And how indeed is that? It's reflexive. And the other thing is, it's very quick.
Right.
It's the fastest reflex in the body.
Wow.
You're aware of the knee-jerk reflex. You can see how much time it takes for the signal to go from where you hit your kneecap.
Yeah,
or
usually there's a little pause there, right?
Yeah, it's enough to see. The signal has to go to the spinal cord up sort of in the mid-back, and then it has to come back on a motor nerve back down to get a muscle to contract to kick the knee. But the closer the input is to the central nervous system, the faster the reflex. And, of course, the eye is part of the brain. You can't get closer than that. So it's the fastest reflex in the body. And here's the thing that's really, I think, insightful. It's the last reflex to be lost when we die.
No kidding.
Medical technicians coming upon somebody who's comatose, they're wondering whether they're, you know, have died or not, may lightly touch the cornea
that's
of the
right.
eye. If there's no blink, they're gone.
That is fascinating. And that's because it's, like you say, it's the closest to the brain. It's actually part of the brain. And so that's going to be the last thing to quit working, in a sense.
That's right. Before
amazing.
You even think about it.
Right. You can't
I
think about it. It happens.
Into some low-lying branches of a tree.
Oh.
And I could have just torn my eye open with it. But my lid closed very quickly, and I put a bad scratch in my eyelid. But it was all over before I knew what happened. Anyway, that's the kind of thing the Lord wants us to think about.
Right.
When we think about how he protects and guards us. And I always tell people that would be a good thing to pray for, that the Lord would actually do that. And God's written out the prayer for us in the Bible. If you look at God's prayers, like the Lord's Prayer, they're marvelously concise.
Right.
I think sometimes we get the idea when we pray to God that he's a slow learner and we have to explain things to him. But he knows our needs before we ask, doesn't he?
Yeah, he sure does.
The prayer that God has given us about this very matter of protecting us as the apple of the eye can be found in Psalm chapter 17, verse 8. And there we read, and I'm going to translate, keep is protect. Lord, protect me as the apple of your eye.
Yeah, okay.
Hide me in the shadow of your wings. Now, that's the kind of prayer the Lord is surely going to answer. And the thing that's so neat is he's given us the answer in the third place that apples used in the Bible. And that's that marvelous little verse from Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8. I think a lot of people have read that and not given any thought to what it really means, but now I think they'll have a better appreciation for it. It says, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, he who touches you touches the apple of my eye."
Wow.
Well, in other words, somebody who would harm you is poking God in the eye, and I don't recommend it.
That is such an encouragement, isn't it, to know that the Lord is that entwined with his children, to be that concerned, and yet he is so great as he displays in his creation. That's one of the things that's always so special to me, is to embrace just how great our God is as he displays it in creation, and then to realize he's that intimate with us, that he cares that much for us.
Yeah, we don't get the gospel out of science. You know, there's no gospel in the eye, but the Lord uses examples from ants to eyes.
he sure does. I always like to
help us understand his word. And this is such a beautiful example of God's care, something we can, I think, appreciate if we just think about it.
It sure is. Well, Dr. Menton, if you have another moment and would like to share anything that's going on with the Answers in Genesis ministry at the Creation Museum, share with our listeners.
Well, we have a lot of things going on right now. We are in the process of a major updating of the museum.
Oh, wow.
I would say about a fourth of the museum space is currently, new exhibits are being brought in. And we're going to do a little bit more with human evolution. We're going to do a little bit more with dating methods and how they work.
Excellent.
And how, in support, of course, the young Earth view. That's underway right now. So people visiting right now will find a portion of the museum torn up, but there's still enough to see that'll take you a couple days to get through it.
Absolutely.
The whole thing, the deadline is supposed to be finished by November of this year, the whole major revision, but parts of it will be finished even before that.
Yeah. So people that have been to the museum before, there's no reason not to go back. There's going to be new stuff. I know that some of the exhibits you've changed, but it looks like you're going to do a major change. So I recommend to everyone, you get out there again next November or so and continue to take advantage of the marvelous ministry of Answers in Genesis. And in particular, our brother, Dr. Dave Menton. Dave, it's been a real pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you so much for taking the time to share with us, and may God bless you and continue to use you in mighty ways there with ministry at the museum.
Well, thanks so much for having me on your program, Ben. I appreciate that.
Well, Dr. Scripture, after hearing Dr. Menton share his insights today, I want to go back to the Creation Museum just to hear one of his lectures.
Well, I'm with you on that, Scott. And to all our listeners, why not set aside a few days in this coming year to take a trip to the Creation Museum and stop by the Ark Encounter while you're at it? You'll not be disappointed. And that's not what Scripture says, but it is something Dr. Menton would say.